brothers wish to welcome you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's good to be here tonight. It's good to see so many turn out. And we're beginning what this week we started. What's the fall? Is the fall season? And at least I'm looking for a little bit of cooler weather. So it's getting to be a nice time of year. For scripture reading, I want to take my scripture reading out of section 45, verse number 4. And in that day shall be heard of wars and rumors of wars, and the whole earth shall be in commotion, and men's hearts shall fail them, and they shall say to Christ, delayeth his coming until the end of the earth. And the love of men shall wax cold, and iniquity shall abound. And when the time of the Gentiles is come in, a light shall break forth among them that sit in darkness, and it shall be the fullness of my gospel. But they receive it not, for they perceive not the light, and they turn their hearts from me because of the precepts of men. Let us open with hymn 407.
Almighty God, our kind and loving Heavenly Father, we deem it a joy and a privilege that we might gather together this night to worship Thee in this beautiful sanctuary. Please send us Thy Spirit that it might dwell amongst us, and especially send Thy Spirit to Harold, that he might be able to be free to say what Thou wouldst have him say. Bless us to this end, we pray, in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Chosen for my scripture readings tonight, one from Luke, the 11th chapter, starting with the 35th verse. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, is full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when a bright shining of a candle lighteth a room, doth give the light in all of the room. And from our Doctrine and Covenants, section 85, we find these words recorded, starting with verse 3. And the light which now shineth, which gives you light, through him who enlighteneth your eyes, which is the same light that quickeneth your understanding, which light proceedeth forth from the presence of God to fill the immensity of space, the light which is in all things, which giveth life to all things, which is the law by which all things are governed, even the power of God, who sitteth upon his throne, who is in the bosom of eternity, who is in the midst of all things. May the Lord add his blessing upon his word.
Let's turn our hymnals to 412.
It's always a daunting task, I think, for me at least, to stand behind this pulpit, the sacred desk, and offer thoughts and advice, if you will, sometimes, or words of counsel or admonition. To me, that's truly a task that I find humbling. So I pray that the Lord will add his blessing to my efforts this night. I thought for a while on what I might bring this night, and as I pondered and considered it, I was given to settle on a thought that why is it that is for man, once he has found the light, for him to stay in it? Why is it that he tends to wander and drift from that truth and the faith and the truth that he knows to be from God? And of course, I'm speaking of myself as well. Everyone here has that tendency sometimes probably to not provide or to stay with their they know to be true always, and don't put the degree of effort they should into that, what they must, and they know they must do. From the moment that God created light, and he said, let there be light, and divided light from the darkness, he knew it was good, and in his infinite wisdom, he knew it was necessary to nourish the landscape that he would soon bring forth as well. He also knew that man would have great need for physical light to guide his daily activities and provide for the day as well as the nighttime. In time, man would learn that there was something beyond this physical light to guide and direct his natural way and behavior, but had little understanding of it probably as well. We have come to know through the time, through our studies and over time, that there is both physical light as well as spiritual light in the world. And we know that people often seek physical light to a great degree, to alter their appearance maybe at times through exposure to it. I'm speaking of the sun. Indeed, there is a need for natural light for good health. But there's also a need for this spiritual light to maintain a healthy soul. Sometimes we're too obsessed with seeking the benefits of physical light, and we seem to lack that same desire to maintain that spiritual light that we once had, or is, should be part of our inner being. I know from my personal experience, when I, for instance, allow my prayer life or my church affiliation or association to slip a little by not keeping a closeness with those who are of like faith, it becomes easy and to accept a lax attitude and justify why it's okay maybe to stay at home or in our comfort zone, away from the fellowship of the saints, thereby missing opportunities of hearing how the Lord touches and blesses them and their lives in some special way. Certainly we all need this inner strength that comes from sharing how we have been blessed. We need to hear testimonies and prayers of the faithful ones, don't we? I believe that there is at least 3 degrees that exist in which physical light and spiritual light might occur. Physical light, we know, can be bright like the sun, or it can be dim and low like we experience at nighttime. And there's times when it's non-existent at all. And don't we all grope and stumble when this physical light is so dim and perhaps not present at all? And by the same line of reasoning, isn't it possible to find ourselves groping with uncertainty and doubt and wandering from our faith even when that spiritual light is dim and weak? We might even find that doubt has crept into our lives to the point of turning our thoughts away from that narrow pathway or a rod of iron that we know that we must keep our hand upon. And what happens should we allow spiritual light to actually dim to the point where it leaves us altogether? I think you each would know that answer. I don't think that's a doubt in your mind. But I believe we witness daily the results of darkness that has crept into the mind of many, or some at least, that you hear of in the news, who have allowed that spiritual light to become so dim it actually faded away. We hear of crime, violence, and murder, and we read of these things, and a host of other misdeeds of man that he perpetrates upon his fellow man. Do these not reflect a truly darkened mind and soul? One good example that we find in the scriptures is the story of this man that we read of in the book of Alma, in the very first few chapters, I guess, when he was brought before Alma to be judged. You see, this man has been preaching doctrine that was contrary to what they knew to be the word of God. And he was even saying things like how priests and teachers should not labor without being supported by the people and other false doctrines. He assumed this righteous attitude about trying to change the hearts and minds of men. And of course, there was a man, you've read about him, Gideon, who was there that day when he got in a discussion with this man that was preaching this stuff, these evil things or thoughts. He got in a discussion with him, and it must have been a heated discussion, because this man took his sword and smite Gideon to the point where he killed him. Certainly this is but one example where spiritual light had truly faded and was gone from this individual, wasn't it? But you know, we need not go that far back in biblical history to witness in our Lord's church throughout the years those who were fine examples of what it means to walk in the light, and contrast that which occurs when they allow complacency, acquiring their learning probably from the world, and worst yet, letting the adversary deceive them and lead them away from the truth of the message that they once espoused, and begin spreading false doctrines as well. What a tragedy. When we speak of spiritual light, we know that it symbolizes what is good and uplifting, and usually is associated with spiritually minded people, and especially with God. During one of the plagues of Egypt, you remember, that we read of, we read how light guided the way of the Israelite nation while the Egyptians were kept in darkness. By this means, the Lord gave protection to the Israelites while they traveled and fled. This manifestation was physical light, of course, that we read of in the book of Exodus. It was indeed the hand of God at work. This light symbolizes a blessing, of course, upon the Israelite people. But when we speak of light in a figurative manner regarding one's soul, we're implying the guidance and enlightenment given by God through His Son, Jesus Christ, to all who have a relationship with Him that leads them on the pathway of life. Much has been said about and written about this spiritual light, which is so intangible to our five senses, but ever so vital in our salvation or to it. Why then is it so difficult to seek and hold fast to that unseen light that guides our life each day? Surely it's every bit as powerful as the wind or the rays of the sun, and they are unseen as well, yet we know that they exist and what effect they can have on us. Yet how often do we fail to seek the effects of spiritual guidance and light for strength Why might this be so, I ask? Well, for a partial answer to this, I think I've turned to a revelation that we find in our Doctrine and Covenants that was given to Joseph in the early days of the church. And in section 3, we find these thoughts expressed there. Section 3, 3a. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that Satan has great hold upon the hearts, their hearts. He stirreth them up to iniquity against that which is good, and their hearts are corrupt and full of wickedness and abominations. And they love darkness rather than light. Because their deeds are evil, therefore they will not ask of me. Satan stirreth them up, that he may lead their souls to destruction." This, of course, was word or a revelation given to Joseph following the events that we read of in our history, church history, how the manuscripts had been taken, a portion of them, and by these men, with the thought that they would probably modify them in some way or change them so that the wording would create this obvious error between what he is trying to rewrite, if he was to rewrite them again, Joseph, these pages of a manuscript. They wanted to create an issue there, but the wisdom of the Lord prevailed, we know. And knowing the hearts of these that were trying to do this, he would not let them frustrate the work. And he didn't allow these pages to be translated again. This revelation was given to Joseph at that time, but it provides insight as well as to why men still struggle and allow that spiritual light to slip from their grasp frequently. There are many accounts in Scripture where man allows his mind to become darkened and lose the spiritual light it may have once had. Cain, we know, the son of Eve and Adam and Eve, was probably the first event that we read of in the Bible where he slew his brother Abel. Darkness had surely entered his heart. In Genesis, the 5th chapter, we find that where it's recorded that he loved Satan more than God. And from the earliest accounts of the creation, we find that man has allowed spiritual darkness to take control of him and find a place in his heart. Mankind was not far removed from the Garden of Eden when he turned to dark ways of behavior. Though God pleaded with him and the angels warned of the pitfalls of what the consequences might be, these warnings failed to find their way into the hearts of but a few. Listen to what Enoch had to say in his day when he preached to the people that we read of also in Genesis, the 6th chapter. In the 49th verse, we read, he says unto them, "Because of Adam, that Adam fell, we are. And by his fall came death, and we are made partakers of misery and woe. Behold, Satan hath come among the children of men, and tempteth them to worship him. And men have become carnal, sinful, and devilish. And they are shut out from the presence of God. But God had made known unto our fathers that all men must repent." So, this, of course, was what was given to Enoch in his day, knowing that man was truly this way. He had experienced probably Enoch. We know, of course, it took him 365 years for him to get the city of Enoch to be taken into heaven. So during that period of time, he must have experienced some of this in his day, where he saw men that truly were carnal, sinful, and devilish. Anyway, so we see that man, from the very beginning, possessed this natural tendency and characteristic in some degree. We have been in a constant struggle trying to separate ourselves from this type of a person that Enoch describes from the early period of creation. Any of these characteristics alone, if allowed and to take possessing, if they were to take possession of your body or your mind and your heart, poses a very imposing task to overcome so that we might find favor with our Lord again. Consider if you allow all of these to become ingrained in your spirit, that you would there would not be any place for even the smallest degree of spiritual light to enter your heart or your soul again. This is truly a frightening situation, but we know that it does happen. It happens among men to this day. When we hear of the events and the news of things that transpire, we know that something like this has transpired in their lives. Darkness will certainly overcome that soul, and what a tragic turn one's life will become without spiritual light guiding it. We wonder at times, when we hear of one who was once that bore a seemingly unshakable testimony, and suddenly we find that they are wandering from the pathway that they know to be true down some strange and peculiar way. How does one arrive at that in their life where there's little or no spiritual guidance left within them? This, I believe, can be a slow and gradual process over a lifetime, perhaps, due to a weakening faith or a complacent attitude toward your faith, and entertaining unsound doctrines as well. Maybe it's a result of failing to call upon the Lord in mighty prayer at times, is another. In 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, Paul tells it this way. He said that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared as with a hot iron. This is a rather bitter indictment to who succumbs to this condition. There are some, perhaps, where spiritual light can diminish quickly, though, by denying the blessings that they know God has given them. But you know, the fact that man often turns from God and refuses to return and acknowledge the love he has for them, this doesn't lessen God's concern for us. Does he say, "Depart from me"? No. Rather, he says, "Come unto me, all ye ends of the earth." He provides for each of us the encouragement, the avenues to prevent us from becoming victims of these pitfalls and snares of Satan that he makes so inviting. Pitfalls that will rob us of spiritual insight, discernment, and ultimately our salvation. And I'd like to read what Nephi says regarding this. And we find that in 2 Nephi 12, the 12th chapter, beginning with the 24th verse. Now behold, at that day shall he rage in the hearts of the children of men, and stir them up to anger against that which is good. And others he will pacify, and lull them into carnal security, that they will say, all is well in Zion. Yea, Zion prospereth. All is well. And thus the devil cheated their souls and leadeth them away carefully down to hell. So we see that one of the most vital links for us to embrace to maintain spiritual light and for it to remain with us is to never doubt the divinity of God or Jesus. With all the forces at play in our world today and our physical existence even being threatened, we must rely fully on the teachings of Christ regarding the spiritual world and his plan for us. We who are acquainted with the truth of his word have been given an obligation to be the light of the world. So why do we allow that light to dim and flicker at times? Speaking rhetorically, of course, of our spiritual desire. None of us usually want to settle for what is second best, I don't think, in life. But why do you think the Lord wants to settle for our less than our best, to serve and remain faithful to him? Once we have made our covenant in the water of baptism, let us strive to serve him daily and keep that promise to serve God and keep his commandments. When I make this statement, I've indicted myself as much as you in any way, greatly, because I fail in many ways and at times. But Jesus once said that he had doubt as to whether he would find faith on earth when he would return. Only we as individuals can make that happen. I would leave you with these words that we read in section 1 of the Doctrine and Covenants, given to Joseph, the prophet, where it says, I, the Lord, called upon my servant Joseph Smith, and spoke to him from heaven, and gave him commandments, and gave them also to others, that they should proclaim them unto the world. It was to restore that divine light lost through apostasy to mankind. Light and truth that would inspire man to turn from his selfish and sinful way and become a part of his inner being by laying aside the weak and vain things of the world. Let us try to be diligent, more diligent, to make this a part of our life's work. For the reward we know will be great for all those who prevail. Thank you for your kind attention.
Thank you, Harold. We could all use more light. As he was speaking, my thoughts went to my own work, and you know, there's a lot, and I'm someone who has a profession where I work with my hands, and a person can do a lot of work in a situation where you don't have much light, and there's a lot of things you can do, but there's things that are kind of more specialized, and you're working with smaller parts and tight situations, and you need a lot more light, and I looked at that like we would in the spiritual world. You know, as Christians, there's a lot of things we can do to serve the Lord that doesn't take a lot of light. But if we're going to build the kingdom, then you have to have a lot of light. And certainly that's what this church was made for, was that we might have sufficient light to bring forth Zion. And if we'll but use it. And there's just a lot of specialized things that you have to do that doesn't take just a low light level. There are things that need a very bright light. And certainly with the fullness of the gospel, we have the light that we need to bring forth Zion. Let us close with hymn 431.
Heavenly Father, we thankful for this hour and the words that our brother has shared with us this evening. And we pray that we might always seek out the light of Jesus Christ, that his light might enlighten our hearts and our minds. And we pray, Father, that those subtle temptations of the world we may overcome through faith on you. We're thankful for this message, and we're thankful for those that are here this night, and we pray for those that are not. And we pray that your Spirit will continue to be with us and guide us and direct us in all things. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.